Welcome to Serial Podcast 9, a podcast about cars mostly, and drifting, and trips to go drifting, movies maybe, car shows, wheels, suspension components, like the premium suspension components found at serial9.com. You'll also find fully sick shift knobs, limited run custom steering wheels, bushings, hats, shirts, and much more. Get yours now at serial9.com. You're likely also to hear about buying and selling weird JDM cars, scooters, Tesla peasants, fully sick wheel fitment, BMW headliners, power window and blinker speeds, beers, cameras, and probably some dad jokes starring Gerard D. Don't Ask Dumb Questions Peralta, Kevin Tire Pressure Problems Peterson, and the host with the most percentage of beer, Ryan, bring me my craft beer Benoit.
What do you know about castles, everybody?
Not a lot.
All right, let's do the intro.
I'm Gerard DiPeralta.
And I'm Kevin Peterson.
And I'm Ryan Benoit, and this is Serial Podcast 9. The one before we do a video one, I think.
Oh, no.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, in case you haven't been keeping score.
The one where we talk about castles.
Yeah, the one where we take a request from my wife and talk about castles. That's the shortest podcast because none of us know anything about castles.
I used to be really into like those medieval, you know, they had those like cutaway books when you were a kid. They had like cutaway cars and, you know, they had a cutaway castles book and that was super cool.
That is pretty cool. I think that is good. Did you learn anything about castles?
I think I learned some stuff about castles, you know.
Hey, how are both of you doing?
I think you asked us already.
I didn't record, so now we're on. Now, Jerry. That was just the record.
Now it's you got to be real. Exactly.
Doing pretty well, I think. Yeah, my family came back today from camp. They were been away for 3 days, except for Bella. She was with me, so that was cool.
And Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing good. No complaints.
Are you? Okay, good. I love your positive outlook. I want to say this is probably going to be a fairly heavy Kevin episode. Backstory, Kevin went away this past weekend to go drifting, and 50% of the time I'd go with him, and then the other 50% of the time I usually would talk to him when he gets back, I feel like, to see how it went. But this time it went so badly that I put the podcast first. And I held off talking to Kevin about what happened so we could just talk about it on the podcast and all my reactions would be super genuine. So this is for the podcast.
We haven't talked to Ryan about it at all.
Sacrifice friendship for the audience's sake. Kevin.
Yeah.
What did you do this last weekend, which was June? What was last weekend? June?
It was the Villains team event.
Yes, VIP
Villains
event.
Invitational something.
Prioritized.
Basically. The initials of the event were VIP, but I can't remember what the P was. But yeah.
Yes, it was a team event. You did not drive with Serial 9?
No, I was driving with my buddy Cedric, who I go down to Villains with like most frequently. And then Cam, who has painted cars or parts of cars for Gerard and painted parts of cars for myself in the past. So we are an all one JZ team.
Oh, Cam is a 2JZ.
No.
Are you sure? Pretty sure it's a 2JZ.
I'm pretty sure it's a 1JZ.
Can we fact check this real quick?
I think we can fact check it real quick. You know, do we want to wager?
I kind of do. I want to make it interesting.
I don't think it's a 1J, man.
I'm pretty sure it's a 1J.
It does look like a 1J.
Yeah, I mean he has a comment. Someone asked him what it has, and he says 1JZ GTE.
There's also weird. A picture. There's also a picture of the engine bay with clearly a 1J in it, it's and the captain is Purple Heart 1JZ GTE.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
Dylan. Okay.
It'd be a bit heavy for that car, you know.
Yeah,
it's the same fucking weight. What are you talking about?
No, there's more block height, you know? That's extra iron. Extra iron, buddy.
All right.
It sounds weird for a 1J.
Dude, it does sound weird, man. I said that to him. Like, in the car, because he took me on the street. We went from Walmart parking lot to Harbor Freight. And yeah, man, it sounds crazy. It sounds like a V8. It sounds so crazy in the car too. Like,
well, I mean, even outside, and when we went, came back from Weekfest, I'm like, that's, I'm like, okay, it sounds like that because it's a 2JZ. Like, I just assumed.
Yeah,
like, I'm pretty sure that's why I thought I had a 2J, because it certainly does not sound like a 1J.
No, it sound. I made comments of that as well. Like,
yeah, I mean, maybe it's along the same lines as my fucking car, where it, like, now it sounds kind of good, but before, like, after I put the RTEC on, it certainly did not sound 1JZ-ish. It lost that whole high-pitched thing. So, anyways.
It's this a 1J. Been a delightful, yeah, delightful tangent that we went on here. It's a 1J. Long story short, it's they all had 1Js.
Yeah, because that was the thing. Like, we at one point we were at this gas station in like Chillum, Washington, or something.
Cedric has a 1J. I always thought Cedric had a 2J.
I always thought Cedric had a 2J myself as well. Cedric has a 1J as well.
What the fuck? That's weird. Yeah.
Because I think that's the motor. That's the motor that came in that car. Okay, you know what else had a 1J, Gerard?
What?
The Crown Wagon and the Alteza. Yeah. So literally, yeah, yeah, like every single car had a 1J.
Yeah, it's a 1J towing a 1J.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah.
If you're keeping score in your life, I feel like most people have 1Js, and then a few of your friends have 2Js.
Yeah, well, the big dick swingers like Gerard got to have the 2J power.
I have a 2J too, you know, come on.
No,
yeah,
the reason,
that's what I'm saying. You're a big dick swinger.
Yeah. I always assume any swapped car is a 2J. Simply because, like, if you're going to spend that amount of money, I would assume you'd buy a 2J to start with the bigger dick.
I assumed the same until I met both of you. And then for the last, like, fucking for however long we've known each other, I've been like, oh, I guess the 1J is better because they all love the 1J, and here I am thinking that the 2J was a better end. Anyway, doesn't matter. We're not here to talk about myself and the different. That can be a different episode. The point of what we're doing here is Kevin is on a 1J team.
Yeah,
south 1J of the border. Team.
Yeah, it's Thursday. The event is Friday, Saturday, Sunday. 3-day villains event, as always. It was Thursday, and Gerard was like, yo, the release bearing's making noise. So basically it came down to like, are you gonna like take the transmission out and like look at it and do it? And I was just like, nah, I'm like not doing it, you know. And he's like, do you want to do it on the side of the road, or do you want to do it here, you know? And I was like, I'm like, if I can just do this event, I have 3 weeks till the next event. Then I have plenty of time to do it. I'm like, I'm sure it'll last like whatever, 3 more days. It'll be fine, you know? So I brought one just in case. Words. Yeah, I brought one just in case. And also, like, when I showed it to Cam, I'm like, yo, I'm bringing this. And by bringing this, I won't need to do it, you know? Like that whole thing, like, you know, you bring all your rain gear and then it doesn't rain or whatever. Hmm. So yeah, speaking of that, like, it's villains. It's the middle of summer. I expect it's going to be like 35 degrees or like whatever that is, like 90 degrees Fahrenheit or whatever. It wasn't. It was so windy like the entire time. It was just so windy that you were cold almost, but it was sunny. So you didn't notice that you're like getting sunburned. I swear I got like windburned lips and like, yeah, it was crazy. Anyway, drove down there most of the way. Everything was totally fine. We were an hour out of there, and all of a sudden...
Keep in mind, what I did say when we discovered this bearing problem, I was like, it's probably fine if you were just going to the event or if you're going to mission or whatever, but like, keep in mind you're driving for, I think it was going to be like 8 hours. So if there's any... because there is a problem with this bearing, a bearing that like is not lubed or has some sort of issue, bearings generally just generate heat. So a bearing that's compromised being spun for 8 hours straight, like it's going to have a problem. So anyways, go on.
So yeah, basically we're like an hour away from villains. Cedric and I had made a ton of stops. Like, yeah, we just kept having to stop for gas and like use the bathroom and like whatever. And then, yeah, we're an hour outside of Villains, which is normally, like, the last stop for us where Cedric has to go to, like, the final E85 gas station that's at the airport and, like, going off the highway there, my clutch just fully stopped working. Yeah, basically just stuck there in the middle lane. Couldn't do anything. So basically, yeah, just had to like get it into gear and then start the car, pin it and fire it up and then drive there without using the clutch at all. Pulled in. I was like, all right, I'll just like let it cool down, I guess. And jacked it up so I could look under the inspection thing. And that's when I could see that it looked like the bearing had pushed into the center of the pressure plate fingers. That's sort of what I assumed was happening.
Yeah, basically like melted or got so hot that it expanded enough to like the two just to go together, meld together. I don't even know what happened, but yeah.
Fumes.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, I thought the bearing was still proud of the piston and was just like wedged inside past the fingers of the clutch is what I thought at that point. I never thought that the whole thing had been. And that also makes sense why it squealed just so badly when you press the clutch in, like, because it was literally just the like. So, yeah, basically got to the track. Like, you know, the clutch is just squealing so badly. It's not a good scene. I knew I had to drop it. Talked to Nate. He's just like, yeah, man, the door's unlocked. Just go there. So drove over there with Quinn, Speed Hero, who's been a guest here. Put the car up and like started working on it. And yeah, basically just dropped the transmission. One of the things I forgot, one of like the only things that like was an issue was at the shop, we got a bunch of OEM transmissions. We have this plastic plug that goes into the output shaft where like it ships from Nissan with that. We also have like, you know, old drive shafts that we can use and yokes. And I completely forgot about all of that. So when we were taking the transmission out, we angled it and it just started dropping out fluid. And I was just so surprised. It was because I just had like, didn't even think of that. So then I had to find more fluid and put that in. And yeah, basically I had the new release bearing. So that was all good. Put it all back together, and like at 11:30 on Friday, car was back together, all was working, and all seemed well, you know, all was well in the universe, except for the fact that like Cedric and I had like three tacos at like maybe 10 o'clock or 10:30, and it was 11:30 then, and I hadn't eaten, so.
Oh, you mean you had three tacos in the morning?
Yeah.
A meal that does not make, is a quote from the last villains video. At that point, I was, obviously, I am concerned about Kevin on his endeavors, and I messaged you, and you sent me a picture of a burnout, a little mini burnout, I think. You did a little cooker to make sure it was okay. And then you posted that on Instagram, and I thought all was well.
It was well. All was great. I drove back to the track. Everything was good, and then, yeah. Man, it was so windy in the tent, man. So yeah, didn't have a great sleep because of that, but got up in the morning and took the muffler off, put the other, you know, the 215 tires on the front, got the car, went to tech, did all that. And then, yeah, I did a bunch of laps and like was feeling pretty good. And then Cameron was doing some laps, and then Cedric had his cousins had come picked him up, and they went out for lunch, and then he came back and he did some laps. Yeah, he had this problem where he felt like his car wasn't running as good as it should be or could be. So he pulled his plugs, and like his number six plug, like the whole tip was like gone, just like melted. So he asked if I had plugs, and I had like 18 plugs or something. It's so many plugs. So yeah, he put a new plug in, and then he had talked to his buddy who tunes his car, and basically he was going to log with his laptop instead of just with the ECU to the tablet or whatever, because I guess it's quicker and like has a better resolution of the logging or whatever, so that he could send it to his tuner guy to see what he thought. So I was going to ride in the car and hold his laptop for him. Yeah, so then he like came around like one of the back hairpins and went to initiate, and it kind of like gripped up a bit. So then I guess he like kind of tried to initiate again, but like it was maybe a bit too late. And then, yeah, he kind of just plowed into the wall a little bit. It wasn't so bad. Like, he didn't, like, wreck any of his intercooler piping. Like, he just, like, his headlight got messed up. And it bent his front lower control arm. But, so, yeah, we don't. Yeah, front lower. Which, unfortunately, on those cars, like, the ball joint is part of that. So, it's, like, a super expensive arm. Like, a brand new one, like a brand new OEM one, I think it's like $1,200 or something.
Wow, that's crazy.
They're silly. Yeah, but there are companies that sell ones that have like the Camry style ball joint, the three bolt one. Hmm. So you can buy those, they're adjustable. You can put that ball joint on. But yeah, Cedric also has that parts car that's outside Serial 9. So.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah. It's time to go, buddy.
I was going to say, for those of you that don't know, and so Cedric has been on the podcast, episode 77, if you're looking for it. Cedric drives a Soarer. So I don't know if we mentioned that or not, or if we're just assuming everybody knows that. That is what Cedric has.
You're a good host, Ryan, you know? Like, given the episode numbers, you give him the episode numbers. People with context you might not know, you know?
That's who Cedric is. Assume nothing. Maybe someone went to Villains this weekend and was like, oh, that guy, he had a thing that happened that we haven't got to yet. And now they want to learn more. But yeah, so Cedric, this car is a whole other beast onto itself. It is a pretty interesting podcast to listen to. Anyway, so that's the case with that. Okay, so Cedric's car, sorry, I feel like I interrupted, but Cedric's car
got a little
damage while you were riding shotgun, logging the problems. Okay.
Logging the problems. Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, he was, you know, kind of beating himself up a bit, and we went back to the pits, and like, you know, we're like, yo, like the intercooler isn't damaged, the intercooler piping, the blow-off valve, like, you know, the battery, the radiator, like not, you know, like the headlight, the fiberglass fender, like, you know, like a chunk had like worn away. The headlight was, the lens was all screwed up, but like, you know, it still worked. That front lower, this huge cast like I-beam thing was bent a little bit at the end where the ball joint part was. So we were just like, yo, like, we're not going to heat it up. We're not going to put it in a press. It's already bent. We'll just leave it. We'll straighten out the toe and it'll be good. But also at that point, we're like, all right, well, Cam was already like, I'll just drive my car and we can tow your car, you know? So that was sort of the plan, was to like tow Cedric's car home. At that point.
Then plot twists coming.
So then Cam and I were like, oh, we should like go out maybe and do at least one lap together before we do our like competition run together, you know? So we went out to do one lap and we did one lap. And then I was in lead and he chased. And then we did another lap where he was in lead and I chased. And then we were coming around for a third lap. And someone had like crashed, so we couldn't finish that lap. And then, yeah, basically like right after that, the competition started. And yeah, Cedric wasn't comfortable like driving his car because like you still felt like the engine was doing something. And like now, you know, he'd already bent the control arm. So it was just Cam and I. So we knew we couldn't really like win anyway when we only have like a 2-person team. So I wasn't really trying to go super hard. But I did my first run and apparently it was quite good. They said we had like a really, really great first run. We looped around and went to do our second run. And I, yeah, just initiated like 3 feet off the line and put the right rear corner of the Alteza into the wall really, really good. Which, you know, brought the front end around. But which also would have been okay if you had like infinite runoff. But at Villains, there, you know, there's not infinite runoff. There's maybe like 25 feet between, the end of the wall that you drag your bumper on and like another wall that stops you from going into like the airport. So, yeah, the front of the Alteza went, you know, slightly off kilter into that wall and pushed in the passenger side frame rail, moved like the towers are shifted. The passenger side frame rail is in quite a bit to the point where like where the A pillar meets the cowl, there's like a wrinkle. So it's pretty bent.
So last year, our buddy wrecked his car on that same turn, right? You've been tires though, right?
Yeah, our buddy Christian from Eagle Motor Works that we were on Drift Week with. He wrecked his Drift Week E36. Basically did the same thing, but they didn't have tires then. And they have some tires there now. I would say they helped a little bit, yeah. We had this whole discussion about the bash bar, too, because now I have a bash bar. And, you know, it was like, if the bash bar wasn't there, perhaps in this instance, like, because right now, you know, the headlight tabs broke, but the headlights are still very much, you know, fully intact. The radiator isn't leaking. The intercooler isn't really squished at all. One of the intercooler pipings is squished, but yeah, like all of those ancillary things, like last time my whole rad fan setup got destroyed, all of that stuff is fine, but the frame rail is like way more buckled, and it's like if I didn't have that, perhaps all of those things would have been obliterated, but the frame rails and the towers might be in better shape, you know, who's to say. And whatever, I had the bash bar, so that's what happened, you know.
Here we are.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so that's it. I presume you get towed off the track, pulled off the track.
I wasn't leaking fluids, so I just like drove off the track and drove back to the pits.
So you're in the pits. You're assessing what's gone wrong with your car.
Yeah, so I'm in the pits. I just like take a look at it. Cam's like, yeah, like, you know, like I can't even remember what Cam says at that point, but I'm just like, well, I don't know, you want to go watch the competition? And he was just like, I'm like, I don't know, like I have all the time in the world to fix this after, like might as well just go watch, you know. So that's what we did. We went and just watched the whole competition, which is, you know, super exciting. Husky was there, they did super well.
Yeah, I saw. And so this is from the outside, is that I'm now so accustomed, one, to, like I said, being with you. So I always see your car at the thing or seeing content of Kevin's car. Generally, people like to shoot Kevin's car. I didn't see a ton of it. And I was, you know, so that was a little bit alarming and concerning to me. I was like, oh, what's going on? Like, I'm not seeing a lot of that. And then, yeah, and then I feel like you said you didn't have cell service, so you posted all this stuff.
Yeah, I was able to, like, I could go on Instagram and watch people's stuff, but, like, uploading just was not working for me.
And then I also, I guess this is more about, I don't know why I need to say this, but I felt like Kevin's probably going through something and, like, I don't need to bother him with whatever is going on, so I'll just hold off. But even like the night before when you were working on stuff, like I was just sitting at home editing a video. So yeah. I was like, oh, I'm real like caught up. I'm real vested in what's happening with Kevin right now because I'm just at home making a video about Kevin.
Yeah.
So anyway, you've driven at a lot of events. You've had incidences. How did this one compare to other ones?
I knew when I hit the wall, it wasn't good. You know what I mean? Like I've hit that wall lots of times to like varying degrees, you know, and like never once has it made the car come around, you know? I knew it was already going to be more intense than most ever or whatever or other times or whatever. I can't even think. But then also hitting that wall head on after, it was like, oh, you know, like very not good.
But how did that feel? Like, what was your thought? Were you panicked at all? You are essentially like 8 to 9 hours away from home. One of the cars you're with is already like a little bit buggered. And like,
I wasn't too concerned because I was, you know, like where the shop where I, you know, Nate has that I was allowed to like use to work on my car, like, you know, it feels like there is room that I could, you know, store my car for some time and come back and get it if need be. Or, you know, Nate offered us his 2-car trailer and was just like, you know, I don't know, bring it back in 6 months or something when you come to the next event or whatever, you know, like, you know, so there were options, you know. Other people were like, oh, you can store the car at my place. People saw that my car got wrecked and messaged me on Instagram being like, oh, hey, I might have some parts for you. People at the event you know, AJ was there and was like, hey, man, like, if you need, you know, you need any bumpers or anything, let me know. Like, so
that's nice.
I feel like that's like a thing with the drift community. It's very, very about helping everybody out, you know, because there's never really a competition aspect to drifting. I mean, there is, but like
not in your realm. We participate in.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah,
everyone's just out there for loves.
Usually when things go wrong, you can call in Jerry. It's like the, you know, phone a friend.
Jerry did get a call. I FaceTimed, in fact. No, it was just a call. It was just a call. But yeah. Jared was in a shop and they were like grinding metal and it was so loud at the time.
Is that what I was doing?
So you called Jerry with the bearing issue or the transmission problem. When you hit the wall, did you give Jerry a call or was that like, oh, this is beyond?
I got that call too.
It wasn't really a call. I just, I knew there was, you know, there's no call where someone can like bend your car back over the phone or tell you how to.
I think you called me and I was like, yo, I know that tone. I'm like, what happened? I don't know if that was the first one.
That was the first call, but yeah, it was funny because you did fully pick it up. Yeah. But also it's probably because I was calling you in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if everything's going good, I'm probably not going to call, you know?
Yeah. Also, I remember the phone call when you ron the X7 into the stairs. You're like,
yeah.
Yeah, man. You know, I just wrote my car off. Fuck. Like, what happened? Like,
Just before we started this, I was thinking about that where I was just like, you know, like, I don't know, cavalier is the right term, but like, yeah, I feel like I definitely like am willing to take the situation a lot better than a lot of people might, you know, like,
can you do, right? I mean,
but like, that's just it, you know, like
am I gonna fucking cry about it? Like, oh my god, I'm so upset that I
some people off would my drift but some drifting. People would also just be mad or like, you know what I mean, some people like
Jerry, you did get a little sentimental when the Aristo. There was a moment where you got sentimental about
it wasn't more.
You shed a little tear, but it was more because of the memories that the car represented. Because at that point, you were like, "Oh, I brought my son home from the hospital in this car, and I just put it into the wall." But
yeah, I didn't do that. But that was there were some other sentiments similar to that. But yeah, I never brought him home from the hospital.
Anyway, I remember, and it was like, yeah, that is heavy, and that's important to consider. There's some type of a contract you signed in your mind, I assume, when you take up drifting at that level, and it's that this outcome is a definitive possibility, and that is a thing that, like,
yeah, I'm fully the one who's always about that. I'm just like, you know, every single time you go out there, you have to be willing to like basically throw it all away.
Yeah. I would, however, be upset. Okay, like not upset, but like my feelings would be different if it was not my fault. Like if I just
Like
kind of the one in the Miata at Western, I was just like, okay, like, yeah, it's drifting, but like that was a little bit of an avoidable situation. You know what I mean? Like Bond on his part or whatever. I don't know what it is what it is. Like it happened, it is done, but like yeah, if someone
I mean were this to, one like, was an avoidable situation too. Like
yeah, but it was all
you. Most situations you know what I mean? Are kind of avoidable. You could just stay your ass in bed, you know? But
Yeah, exactly. I guess.
I mean, but I think that there is something to it because it's like there is a part of me that's always like, oh, it would be nice to really learn how to like get into drifting, but I wouldn't be able to cope with that loss at all. If the Aristo was gone, it would be gone and I'd be crushed.
Yeah, it feels like though, like you could drive that exact track and drive
conservatively,
even flick it that hard or do an entry that's that long without being as close to the wall, you know, without being that close to the wall.
Yeah. But then I think eventually it gets to be about like, how sick are you? You know, like how.
Yeah. But I'm like, I think if I was driving that track with, you know, with my Crown or any other car that wasn't the Altezza, I probably wouldn't be as willing to throw it that hard at that wall, you know?
Yeah, but I think that's also a test. The idea, we can get to this after, but I think there's something there with with your cars, kind of, that align or help make that possible. We haven't really covered, though, where we're at now. So you end up taking Cedric's spot on the trailer, and you tow your car home with a Crown.
Yeah, so Cam wagon. Basically, like, I thought he was going to make me drive his car, and he would tow, you know what I mean? Like, so that he would be the one responsible for the trailer and his tow car, you know? But anyway, in the end, he just drove his own car and, like, without any hesitation, just, like, loaded my car on the trailer and handed me the keys, you know? Like,
I mean, I know he had mentioned in the past that driving his car, like, the drone of it all and just the noise that it makes and how loud it is can be a bit of a pain. But, like,
yeah,
given the option to tow someone else's car or drive your fun track car on the street, I might also choose to drive the fun track car.
You also fully drive your plugs in.
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin, you've made a name for yourself by driving your fun track car on the street for a ridiculous amount of time.
I know.
So, like, yeah, you're the poster boy for that. But this is one of those occasions where it's like, yeah, you've done it a lot, and all the hours logged and miles/kilometers driven, I guess they eventually at some point catch up with you, and you gotta pay the toll, the drift toll. And, it's not a question of if, it's a question of when.
What you do
when it happens. Yeah. So you get the car back, the car's at the shop. This is also, like, I actually have, just so everyone knows, again, I've had this whole conversation. I don't know what the current status of the Altezza is. I don't know what you're doing with it. I don't know if it's fixable. So we've gone a long time to not say what happens to the pink Altezza on shiny three spokes.
It feels like it's still up in the air, you know? Anything could happen. If you'd like to see the Altezza back, you could help support. We still have some Altezza sketchy t-shirts for sale. You know, they're screen printed in Vancouver here. I got the cool little Serial 9 tag on the bottom hem. Still got some of those in both black and white. And the sketchy shorts, which I'm wearing right now as we record this.
That is a nice little plug. I like what you did. But now I'm also going to push you in some directions here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do some award-winning journalism. No. What are the options? What are the possibilities for this car?
Possibility one would be to fix everything that's wrong with it and get everything painted again so that it is fresh, expensive option.
Option two.
To take every single part off of it and throw it in the garbage.
Hurts my heart, but I get it. Option three?
There's maybe an option three, which would be sort of get the towers back where they kind of belong. And that's about it. So that the car can, you know, like, you can use the adjustable arms and get an alignment that drives pretty good. And it's not really a car that you're going to drive 7 hours on the street somewhere, but it's definitely a driftable car.
Missile status.
A missile, if you will. Yes.
Can I just say, now that my beer's kicked in, option three doesn't feel like a Kevin option. Like, it doesn't feel, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but, like, it doesn't necessarily adhere to your ideology that I'm aware of pre this weekend. Maybe post this weekend your ideology has shifted and the Dyna will tow cars to events, but I don't necessarily see you as a guy who owns missile cars. I don't know if that's fair to put out there. You can be. People can change and grow and be different. I watched Inside Out 2 yesterday. So
I'm growing as a person, you know?
Yeah. Are you
growing towards just garbage cars that are all crumpled up. Yeah, option three isn't really my jam. But option one also isn't really my jam. I don't know. It's a bunch of money. on a car that I don't really care that much about, maybe. But also, like, it does feel that the state of the JDM car or whatever, you know, like, if I did get it fixed, I could probably still get enough money for it that it would be worth it to get it fixed, you know, like...
As long as they never listen to this podcast or watch any videos that we make. No, I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Fuck. I so the point that I was going to make prior to this that I think now is relevant is you have notoriously always chosen cars that you are to like mod, build and drive. We talked about it in the last episode. You're not like greatly attached to them. You don't necessarily love them. I think you do it out of, you make them into something that maybe you could care about, but a chassis is a chassis until maybe you're done with it. I don't know if that's fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like I feel like I wasn't done with the Celsior and it got taken, but like, I didn't go out and buy another one, you know?
The Celsior seems like the one of all the cars that we've ever talked about in the history of the almost 100 podcasts that we've done. Yeah. The Celsior is the only one that seems like that it's the one that got away a little bit.
Because of that thing like Gerard said, where it's like, it wasn't my choice, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so fair. Like, had you done the thing?
Or and, wasn't, yeah, my... I mean, this wasn't really my choice either, but I mean, I guess it was, but...
There was a series of choices that brought you to that point, and, you know, and one of them was like, look how sick I am right now. You know, watch me do some dope
yeah,
shit.
Yeah. Hold my beer, but like without yeah. the beer.
Yeah. Okay. That cause, and we've never really, I feel like maybe we brought it up only a few times. The Celsior at the point where it got wrecked had yeah. a 6-speed in it. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would have been like a fully different experience from, even if you are aware with a Celsior and what it was like, full UFO mode.
Yeah, it wasn't UFO mode. I took all the camber out, I put it on yeah. one piece wheels, I had 6-speed and had the welded diff and all that stuff, and I'd just gotten like the AT emulator going and we were gonna make a knuckle for it and I was gonna start drifting that car, but even yeah, then it got taken. But yeah,
I don't love that. Here we are. It is what it is. And now you got another VIP car that you're rolling around in. So
yeah, exactly.
Maybe, you know, I think there is a thing, and I, this is Gerard, you can speak to this as well, because you lost the Aristo, which is a car that you infamously don't necessarily love. Like, you know, like
yeah.
you ain't got no love for the Aristo, which is always my favorite thing about anyone who has that chassis, including myself, is like, if you read the comments on the videos, it's like, just, I wonder if Gerard misses it, and people are like, no, not a chance he misses it.
I mean, like, of course I miss it a little bit sometimes. You've even missed negative things in your life sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it wasn't all negative. I mean,
that, yo, that's car, fucking that's deep, bro.
That is, yeah.
But it is the truth. But honestly, like, there were a lot of really great aspects about that car as a drift car. Like the fact that like you could have solid everything and like the car just drives like fucking super normal. It's like kind of crazy. You know what I mean? It was a very comfortable. And one thing I absolutely did love about that car was the cockpit. I absolutely loved the driving position, the driving area. The only thing I didn't like was the cluster, but everything about the dashboard, the interior, the way I sit in the car, everything was just amazing. Like you get in and it felt like a cocoon and just strap in and fucking tread. It was so cool. Not a lot of cars give me that exact feeling, especially in a sedan. I love the dash on that thing. I love the interior on that thing. So cool. Anyways,
yeah, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
but now they're here's the thing. I don't know if they're the best. Anyway, it doesn't matter. This isn't about me and my love of Aristos. I don't really know how to phrase this, but is there like, as a car guy, there must be a fine line between like your affinity for your car and your ability to walk away from it. Is that,
I think, you know, it's different for all types, different for different people.
Yeah. Yeah.
I seem
but
to
there
have
a value like, in it.
Our buddy Cam, who, you know, we've talked about with the 1JZ FRS, he rolled his car last year onto the roof. Yeah, like it was seriously messed up, and he he fixed every single aspect of that car and like put a carbon fiber roof on, and like now you can't even tell. It looks exactly the same.
But mind you, he is a body
man. Yeah, no, he is a body man by trade. Yeah, for sure. Like that, you know, but for him, it would have been also just, it would have been easier just to get a new one. Like,
yeah.
Like right now he said he has a line on a shell, basically. You know, Quinn was saying that he was like, yo, I've had 3 FRS shells for free in my life, you know? Like,
really?
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, you've mentioned a few times maybe you'd build an FRS. Now you can have a 1J FRS.
I've thought about it, but I wouldn't. I'm going to give the 1JZ to Gerardo over here.
Yeah, we have a plan, Ryan.
Yeah.
You got a plan this whole fucking time. Yeah, what's the plan?
Secret? I mean, you're fucking dragging it out so long. We barely just got to the fact that Kevin's car might be fixable, might not be fixable. We're like an hour, 45 minutes in.
Fucking telling a story, Jerry.
People are
sleeping at this point, man.
They are not. People fucking love that car.
They're coming back for the second half. They love it. They only listen to the first half on their way to work.
Look, and there's edits that come in. We didn't like start strong, so we're good.
Yeah.
Look, my brother messaged me today and was like, "What's going on with Kevin's car?" I didn't tell my brother. My brother must follow Kevin on Instagram or see it. So, like, I've seen it somewhere. So, like, you know, and then he made fun of BMWs, which I also love.
That's awesome.
Okay. So, yeah, people care. Look, people are invested in each of your stories. So what's the plan? We had these potentials. Now you got a plan.
It's a loose plan.
Cam said it would cost like $4,000 to like fix the car. And it's like, all right, that's, you know what I mean? That's more than the car cost initially.
Yeah.
I found an entire IS300 complete running, driving for sale in Kelowna for $4,000. You know, I could do that if I cared that much about this chassis. Mm-hmm. I might as well just buy a new one and have, you know, now I have doors, fenders, bumpers, an entire 2JZ NA, like everything, a subframe, you know, a diff, axles, all that stuff. But it's like, I don't really know if I care enough about the chassis to even do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I get with that. Because I was like, okay, I'm going to start talking here because...
Yeah,
I haven't spoken for the whole. Because Kevin has two of the exact same cars. The IS and the Crown are the exact same car. One just looks different than the other one. It's, in my opinion, a bit more interesting. And they are starting to get popular in the US crowd. So, you know, I mean, it's cool that everyone can relate to the IS Alteza. But in typical Serial 9 manner, like maybe we just kind of have the thing that isn't the thing, but it's sort of the thing. It's kind of like a bit ahead of the curve, you know what I'm saying? Just enough so that like we can alienate half the fucking customers because they don't know what the hell we're driving. But anyways.
But we already had that thing too, though. We had that thing for a long time. We showed that thing, you know.
Yeah, but maybe now I get rid of that thing and you get the thing.
Sorry, what?
Well, the thing you're talking about was the Alteza or my Blit?
No, it was the IS.
Okay, yeah. I mean, we had the IS.
But, yeah, it's like we've already, you know what I mean? For the people who don't get the Crown, we've already shown them the IS. So they get it. They get the IS. Yeah, you know what exactly, I mean? Now the people who already get the IS are either going to get the Crown or not going to get the Crown, but they already got the IS. So it doesn't really matter, you know? So
yeah, or get a 110, which I mean, I have the like most obscure example of such, but like. Yeah. So anyways, you're already building a Crown and he had a great idea. He's like, man, this engine already fucking works. It already makes power. It already does all this shit. It's like, why don't I just take that engine and put it in the Crown, especially if we're going to final boat. And then like, all I have to do is basically get the fucking thing tuned on the link instead of the ECU masters. And I was like, oh, that's an amazing idea. And he's like, hey man, you want a 1JC? I was like, that's an amazing idea. Because, like, I just sent my ECU, my BMW ECU out to get tested. Who the fuck knows what it's going to come back as, like, if it's fixable or not. Because my goal was basically to spend the least amount of money possible to get one of these fucking cars to work. Because we need the BMW to, like, do the BMW development. I have the BMW. It's literally sitting there. even if it costs like $500, maybe even a bit more, it's the quickest route to getting one of those chassis. If I buy a different car, it's going to cost more money. It might still have problems. Whatever. We already have the car. Just get the car riding, first of all. So then I can drive it. We can use it. But eventually, like the original plan for the Beamers was to build a 1JZ 8-speed BMW. And that would be our like BMW entry into the market or whatever, because it's still related because it has the JZ in it, but it's a BMW. So it's basically just like one of our cars in a different chassis. Anyways, so he's like, hey, you want a 1JZ? And I was like, that's a great idea. And when and if that happens, maybe we'll go that route.
Yeah, it's a knife through my heart, but whatever.
Okay, well, honestly, though, like the one thing I can say, though, is like the Crown has its own subframe, has, you know, has its own arms, has its own short knuckles. It already has its own transmission, its own clutch, its own flywheel. So I don't really need to strip the Alteza down to build the Crown. I can just take the motor and transmission out, you know, maybe take the seat out and the wheels off or whatever. And I could park that car somewhere for a while and come back to it in the, you know.
Yeah.
But the only issue with that is we live in Vancouver. So somewhere to store that car for me is probably going to be like, you know, $100 to $200 a month. So after a year, I've already accumulated 3/4 of the cost of just getting the car fixed in storage. So, you know, it's not like we're just sitting on infinite land where I could just park the car outside and no one's going to screw with it. And I get, you know, just come back to it. Unfortunately,
my whole thing is like, what are you coming back to and when and why? Like, what do you like? Cause of the sentimental or cause it's a good car or cause it has arms, like whoop-de-doo. Like you could make enough money on that car to like ball out the Crown, legit, like finish the Crown, like real nice. And then, you know, put some money into the GS or whatever the fuck. I don't know.
Like, yeah, no, I mean, you know, you're probably right. And that's probably the option that's going to happen. But, you know, there's always that like allure of, you know, like having
old cake, reliable, you
having
know?
Your cake and eating it too.
That's not to offend you, Ryan, but that seems like something Ryan would do, because like Ryan would like hang on to it because it's like, you know, like you said, old faithful, or like it's like familiar, or it's like this and that. But unfortunately, man, like we're a business, like and maybe if you can, if you had land and like you could just sit on that car, and maybe one day you feel like fucking spending 20 hours to put it back together and like have some fucking 25, 30 year old missile. You know what I mean? Like you could just buy a missile car. Like at that point, like for the amount of labor and time and whatever that you're going to have to put back into the car to get it. You know what I mean? Or just drive it as it is.
I will say I'm not oblivious to the fact that you're a business. I understand that. I mean, I think more often than not, I argue in favor of a lot of – I use the acronym ROI a lot for you. Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's fine. And so – but I also do understand sentimental value. So – and yeah, I
– sentimental value has no place in these decisions in my world. That's –
I know they don't, because you're you. That's the point of you. That is your kind of existence. And that is a very, I don't want to say uniquely Gerard thing, but it's a very specific thing to you. But it isn't. But then you have on the other side of that is Cam, who rolled the chassis and then totally rebuilt it because
he built that car for sentimental value. You think he rebuilt that because it was sentimental?
I don't know, man. But look, I kind of do.
I mean, that's what I mean. I don't know. I have no idea, but I'm just saying.
Because yeah,
know.
I think.
I mean,
think
you don't even know what engine's in the car, so sorry.
I think it would have been, you know, cheaper, or you know, for him just to get a new shell. But yeah, I don't know.
But I will say I purposely let go of one of my favorite cars that I've ever owned, because part of it was like it was an exercise in like not becoming attached to something. So you want to say, oh, this is a really Ryan thing to do. But like, okay, I've done things in the past where it's like, no, it is just a piece of metal. And do I regret not having that car anymore? Absolutely. But do I like the Aristo more? Yes. Am I getting to the point where with the Aristo where I'm like, am I just too attached to this thing for the sake of being attached to it? Maybe. So, I don't think I'm the sucker you think I am, Jerry. But
I feel like you're open to something new.
Yeah.
I feel like you just you're still a bit hesitant. You don't have the like
fucking you go see. Yeah, you fucking walk into a shop and watch your friend not be able to fix his new project and then tell me how excited you are about a new unknown.
Yeah, but Gerard. You're buying a Toyota.
No, yeah, I'm not telling you to buy a BMW.
Yeah. No, never am I. No, not in your life. But anyway, I don't think there's value in becoming attached to things like that, and they can serve you for a time. But it does get hard. The longer you spend with something, the more comfortable you become with it, the more you maybe become loyal to it. I don't know.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, if for myself, might not apply to Kevin, but like a lot of it is obviously financial sort of like positioning. Like if you're sentiment, like there's always that sliding scale of like, do I want this? Like, do I want it as in, do I want this particular car fixed? Like, do I want, basically if you have enough money, you can erase the event, right? Yeah. Like just you could, like Kevin, away. Kevin could press a button tomorrow and spend fucking $10,000 and make it as if that car never even went to Villains. You know, it's got a new trans, it's got fucking brand new bodywork. It probably looks better than it did. And like, you could just keep pouring money into fucking whatever until it's actually just so crumpled up that like it's unfixable, but anything's fixable for the amount of money.
Yeah.
But like, you know, sure, in real people's terms, like how, like what's the value? Like,
yeah,
if you got, you know, $500,000 in your bank and you need to spend 10 grand on this car, that's like your fucking play toy, and you just want to sort of like not think about it, that's absolutely possible. But like, you know, I don't think Kevin has 500 grand in the bank, but
he might. I don't know. Hey. Kevin's on
Kevin maybe he just really doesn't want to spend 10, you know,
real crazy. You know, I don't know. I will say though, in the past, we've said that there's always been the give and take of it's like one in, one out. And the dream is to never have that where you have to get rid of the one thing that you have to get the next thing.
Yeah.
And I get that that's not really the case with the Altezza. The, you know, like it is in a place where it would require some investment, you know.
That's the thing. It's like for the price that it would cost to fix, I could, for $1,000 more, get like an entirely new, different, cool car and put most of that stuff in, you know, or literally the same price, get a left-hand drive version of the exact same car.
But lame. Like, no,
the other exactly thing I will say is then you feel gotta, like, and then you got to do all that like ECU shit and like, you know, that is still a decent amount of work. But yeah.
Oh no, totally. Even just swapping the subframes and putting the engine and hammering the tunnel and I remember hammering my inner fenders and shaping the inner fenders was like 3 hours, like an hour and a half each side. Like,
100%.
Yeah, I spent like half a day just hammering a fender, you know, like on that car. Yeah, I mean, and it's like, that's the stuff you don't really think about when you're just like, oh, I'm just going to build this car. And it's just like, oh, now you're going to tuck the wire. Now you're going to like, oh, are you going to do that tiny little thing? It's, you know,
that's one of the things Quinn
was saying. It was like teething problems. You know what I mean? He's just like, yeah, you can put a car together, but like, it takes you a year and a half or 2 years to like get all of those teething things right. And he's like, you know, I'm sure he said this too. He's like on the way home while we're towing, he's like, there's still things on this car that you're tinkering with and making better, you know, like how long have you had this car? You know, like, yeah, you're not wrong. Like
that is kind of one of the things. And I'm sort of, that's not so dissimilar from the Blitz situation. It's like, it's perfectly good working car, but I kind of sort of just want to get rid of it. Like, I, you know, I didn't, the choice wasn't made for me. It wasn't smashed up or anything, but it's like, I put a lot of work into this car, put a lot of like money into this car, put a lot of like all sorts of shit into this car. And it is sentimental to me because I've actually had this car probably the longest out of any car I've ever had, to be honest. And I've driven it I wanted to drive a 1JZ car through the winter. I wanted to have a cool winter drifting car. And I drove that. And, the car's been through a lot with me. But, so fucking what? You know what I mean?
I think you're the most sentimental out of all of us. And then you just, light a match and burn that sentiment.
Yeah, it was just because if somebody were to give me $30,000 for it, I'd just be like, yeah, fuck, take it, man. I'd be happy to get that. Right. I'm not saying that that's what it's worth. But that's what it's worth to overcome that sentimental attachment to me,
I mean, I don't think it's so far off from that by any means. You know what I mean?
You got a price every.
The only reason it's not worth that is because the states can't buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's a 2002, which means it's not legal for fucking 3 years.
Well, that was the other thing about the Altezza. It's it's literally legal next year. So it's
you should have just parked it.
I know. Well, I mean, is what it is now.
You went out the way you came into the scene. Pause for one second.
Because honestly, I was I'll get a 15 crown. It's the same as a JZX 190, I looked, I could get it for $5,000, I also thought about getting an FRS because I was I've talked about it before. I got that 86 bug a bit, maybe that would scratch that itch. I'll just get an 18 crown, the cheapest 18 crown I can get, and put the 1J with the CD into that or something, or the K series, because I would put the K series in the FRS for sure.
You should put the no, never mind. That's a dumb idea. There was a part of me today that was put the 1J in the GS. But anyway, that's silly because it has.
Yeah, I know. I just want to leave the GS as keep it simple, stupid.
I get it, but there's a part of me that's waiting for the day when you're it's time to drift this thing, and then I'm all about it.
There'll be a day for sure.
I know there will, and I
feel like so that car. I think the good thing about that car though, and that day should be just a manual swap on that engine.
And that's why I got that engine, because I could do just a manual swap.
I agree.
And I feel like once we're at that level, that car will then somehow go to a standalone. You have a standalone on the 3UZ. It's obviously complicated as fuck. It probably needs to keep the stock ECU. It's probably fucking Motec or some shit and turbocharge the 3UZ or some, or even just, I don't know.
ITV. I have an OEM ECU from Yuri that has the AT emulator in it, and it has the second O2 sensor delete, and it has a rev up, so it revs slightly higher
before and then you red said line. It has a bit of different tuning. Is it a crackle or flame tune or whatever? Because I know he does.
No.
No, my boy, don't fuck with that shit. No, okay, sorry. Fuck. My beer was very strong. Okay.
No, I'm not a BMW guy.
I mean, from that car, that'd be sick. Wouldn't you think that'd be sick on that car?
I mean, I don't know, maybe.
Because, you'd just be like, what the fuck is that? You would just never expect that shit. That thing sitting on the ground just, shooting flames, that's, I don't know, probably one of the coolest things it could possibly do. If you didn't have anything else done to it, you know what I mean?
Fucking drift.
You can't drift on the street in traffic, though. You know what I'm saying?
I don't fucking care, man. Look, my beer's kicked in. I don't give a shit anymore.
I don't care what you say about me.
Sensible Brian's gone, and he wants to. I will say.
Oh, Brian! Brian's here.
Yeah, Brian gets really gravelly when he talks. Anyway, I do very much appreciate the Altezza. It's been it's been a meaningful ride for me being a passenger princess in that car, but
yeah, you spent a lot of time in that car.
Yeah. And I feel like it's a basis of that time spent in that car is a basis of a large part of our friendship. So I appreciate it. But Kevin also does have enough cool cars where I'm always excited for the next thing. So I understand if the Altezza doesn't exist anymore, and also knowing that a car really only exists because you had it and you needed something to go to Final Bell, it is what it is because of that, and you're not tied, you're not really tied to that chassis. You don't love it more than you're not out here preaching the virtues of Altezas or IS300s, you know, I don't know. So
I think when I think about back when I first got it, it was literally just a daily because the Celsior had become too crazy, you know. Mm-hmm. And I bought it so that I could take the motor out and put it in a Corolla. It was cheaper for me to buy the entire car from Japan than it was for me to buy the motor and transmission off of eBay in North America.
What I was trying to get at earlier is there's a value to the way that you perceive cars. And that is, you know, I don't know, yeah. You're a little bit like laissez-faire about it. It's like, yeah, I'll have this for a bit and I'll make it into something that I want. But when it no longer is that thing, like when it no longer serves its purpose, maybe it's a bit easier to walk away from. I don't know. You'd have to tell me.
Yeah. I mean, I've never, hanging out with Quinn, he was just like, oh, like what, you know, what's your car's name? I was like, I don't name cars, man. Like, you know, cars aren't things like that to me. It's just a car. You know, I call it the Alteza, like, you know, like,
yeah,
I've never named cars either.
No,
Jerry, yeah. You've ever named cars? I know no. There's like a group of no. people that do, but
I feel like that's the thing. It's like you name the car, then it means something or something. Like, I don't know. It's like, I mean, I know a lot of like race cars have names, you know?
Yes. Like the Green Monster I learned about today. Anyway.
Yeah,
it was like a salt flat car. Anyway,
I feel like maybe other people name the car. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
no, guys name their car. There's a group of people that.
No, but maybe like race cars get like a nickname from the announcer or like fans. Oh,
yeah.
Or something.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Green Monster did. The one that I just referenced is exactly what happened. Yeah, you're right with that. Yeah,
but I mean, Bigfoot, I think they probably named themselves, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Bigfoot, like,
Gravedigger named itself.
Those guys need to have a name because it's like, it's a show, you know? Like, it needs to have a fucking name. To be like, the blue one and the black one. Like, it's not going to, you know?
Here comes the 1992 blue Ford square body.
Yeah. Exactly. Hey, here comes Bigfoot. Here comes this giant monster truck with tombstones all over it. What should we call it? You know, like it's like. Well, I'm excited for whatever the next phase is. If the Alteza goes away, I will miss it. But you have a cool enough arsenal of cars that I would be excited to see what the next iteration of anything is. Give the Alteza a Viking's funeral. Just put it in the Pacific Ocean, which we live right next to, and light it on fire and set it afloat.
And then pay the $5,000 fine to get it fucking taken out of there.
Dude, that'd be way bigger than $5,000.
Yeah, it'd be like way more than
$25,000. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, more than that.
Yeah, probably, like you killed all these fish. Like we had to hire 40 fucking dudes and like a tugboat to come out here. Like.
If you keep the battery in it, though, you'll recharge the electric eels and you're doing the environment a favor.
The only thing that I, not the only thing, but one of the things I'll say out of your choices of car, I was like, 15 Crown, absolutely not. I'm never going to let you get that car.
Yeah, I mean, I know
that. FRS, I think, would be a move.
There's a reason to do it, yeah.
But ultimately, the car you need to get, which of course you would never get, would be like a Nissan 3, like late model 3.7 something or other.
Yeah,
so like G37.
The competitor to the GS? Just have both the Nissan and the Toyota?
Well, no, because then the one you could actually drift, and it'd be a new car that's still nice, but you can drift it.
I'm not so opposed to it.
Oh, God.
And like, that's a great car.
I gotta go. I know. Go on. I like every other option. Because
we need to cover our bases, right?
Yeah, exactly. You just literally were singing my praises for my ability to be okay with taking on a car that I don't care about. And now I'm just like, yeah, that makes sense. You're right. I should probably just get that car. And now you're all mad about that.
It's not mad. It's just
Ryan. Yeah.
Yeah,
I had a whole segment about how I would do that, and like now you're like, "Yo, Kevin, really this like car you should get," and I'm like, "Yeah, you're right."
I really like your current lineup of cars. Your stable of cars, I appreciate, and it's that, you know.
Yeah.
You know what? When we had the conversation a long time ago, and after the Aristo went bye-bye, not my Aristo, Gerard's Aristo, and it was like, what's the next play? And it was like, the Stagia, and I was like, and I feel like I was very adamantly opposed to it, but then I eventually just said, like, yo, okay, because maybe we weren't as good of friends then, and I felt like I had to just be agreeable. And I was like, never supportive. Yeah, like, I think I was, like, because I like the Toyota. And, like, look, the things that I have no bearing on anything. I understand why BMWs are important. I understand why Nissans are important to the ROI of your business. But, yeah, there's the things, I guess, when it's the personal sentiment on the podcast, I'll just say how I feel about things. So, that said, Kevin, you had a G35. It checked a lot of boxes. It didn't love it.
No.
Imagine if you kept that car and we did some sort of aero for it, and where the company would be at today.
Ah, who knows? Maybe it would have been bankrupt. Who knows?
I mean, that's absolutely
not hard to say.
Possible.
Who's to say? We don't have a crystal ball. What we do know is you were building, I remember being very excited about you guys building Aero for the, like, IS300.
Yeah, we were excited about that too.
I was like, yo, and because I'd see it in the corner, and I was like, that's going to be fucking tight. And then it wasn't a thing. And anyway,
it wouldn't have been.
It was so good, and I was so excited. I guess it's just I've logged every podcast in my brain, so I know how Kevin feels about Nissans. But, yeah, look, if you want to roll the dice, drive a Nissan again, great. Do whatever brings you joy.
I do think
I'm able to find the joy in any situation.
That is fair. But, again, you didn't love the G35, you know, like that wasn't for you.
I mean, that car, although, man, like, it's a hard car to love.
You love it.
No, I don't love that one. That one is not the one I'm talking about, Ryan, at all.
Didn't you get a G35 as a seat time car?
I did, because it's the fucking quickest, cheapest route to the thing I wanted. And then I don't even know what the fuck I did or didn't do. I just do anything with the fucking thing. It was such a good car. Like, it was a fucking $800. Like, I could have just, it would have been so good. I just, like, didn't have the time or didn't have the dedication or just didn't have, I don't know, man, whatever. Did nothing with it.
It's a stanky car. No, go on.
But also, like, I couldn't insure it. Like, if I could have just daily drove that car, that car probably would have been done right quick, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the Blitz cooler, so that's what matters.
Yeah, but enough with that. We literally have fucking 3 or 4 cars that are like exact same.
Yeah, the Blitz is the Crown, is the Alteza.
It's all
it's half of the GS.
Yeah, like many fucking ways are you gonna beat this dead ass horse? Like, enough of the fucking chassis already. You know what I mean? Like, does your company want to progress, or do you want to just keep building stupid ass same cars? Like, make a bunch of money and then build whatever fucking car you want. But, like, don't keep trying to make money doing the same exact thing. Isn't that the definition of insanity? It's like repeatedly doing the same thing and making no changes and no progress, and you know what I mean?
No, that's not the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
That's exactly what we're doing.
Well, but your results,
what are the results, but not different?
But not really, because anyway,
we're like, we're not making enough money, so let's build another fucking exact same car. Like, it's like it is.
Well, that's what I'm doing with the Crown. So, like, we're already doing it. That's what I keep
saying. Yeah, you got that. I'm also not saying.
No, but okay. So, like, the thing, I think it's not good that the Alteza's down, but I think it's good for the Crown.
Oh, man, you're a hater. You're such a hater.
Why are you hating, Jerry?
But like, it's a rebirth of that. Like, I know you like that car, but like, I know you probably like or would like the Crown more. So like, just keep.
Yeah, I already
spirit,
do.
Yeah, so yeah. Keep the spirit of the Alteza.
Yeah.
And that's the Crown. So like,
yo, the Crown is getting painted pink.
Have you got an FRS? Would it be pink?
No, I'm a bit pinked out at the moment, you know.
Oh, and I think your background honestly, like, is blue and pink right now. But yeah, okay, that's fair.
And then we can just pass the torch on to you with the Crown, because the Blit, like I said, man, like the Blit serves no purpose for the company, like none, like zero.
Well, once it goes to sport mode, buddy.
I mean, it'll serve one more purpose, and it'll either end up like Kevin's car, or it'll end up in pieces getting sold. That's what's going to happen with that car. I just don't, I have a sentimental lump in my throat to do it. But like, if we want the company to progress, I can't do it with that Blit. And like, we just don't have enough money for me to just up and build another fucking entire car. Like, because, you know, and just keep the Blit as like a whatever, you know what I mean? Like, cool, I did all the work on it. I have the memories of it. I need to do like two more things with the car, which is one, get footage of it drifting in its exact current state, and then maybe like do a sport mode on it and finish the look that way, or maybe just even ixnay that second thing.
Nah, I see time that car. Okay, no, I don't, great.
I don't need a $30,000 seat time car. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but you'll just part it out and get all that money back. It doesn't matter. Just fucking live your life.
Anyways, that's what's going to happen. And if you don't buy the Nissan, maybe I'll buy the fucking Nissan. So I'll have the BMW and the Nissan.
No, that sounds like a horrible idea. Don't do that. You get one bad car, Jerry.
I already have a Toyota. I already have the Cresta. If I had a Cresta, a G37, and a fucking E90 with maybe a Jay-Z in it, or maybe not even a Jay-Z in it, they'd be fine with me.
One, it's like you've never, look, none of this can go in the pot. Maybe it can, but I'm going to say, it's like you've never met yourself. You'll never be fine. I don't know why you're saying you'll be fine. Oh, if I just get this one more thing, I'll be fine. No, you won't.
Well, anyway. You know what I mean. I'll just be... I won't be upset about the loss of the Blit.
Sure, that is great. I think there's value in being able to walk away from a thing. I do think you should get footage of the Blit drifting.
I don't think the car should go to pieces or do anything until that happens. It'd be a disservice to like the amount of time and money and effort I put into that car. It's just had a few pretty pictures and some shitty rollers. Never even had a fucking I had one photo shoot with Johnny. You got some good photos of it drifting and video of it drifting, but like
I will say in favor of the Alteza, one of the things that the Alteza did well was I mean it does photograph well, but it was a staple. It was old reliable. It was the thing that people could come to expect from part of Serial 9 was, oh yeah, that's the Serial 9 Alteza. How do I know it is? Well, it's fucking pink and it has
I agree with that. Like it feels like a lot of people just like associate me with that car and that, you know.
It is a great Kevin, calling card.
It's been 5 years you've been drifting that car. So like you've got to expect that people for following even for 1 year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, let alone fucking 7 years, they're going to be like, Kevin, oh yeah, Kevin has the Alteza. Like, obviously, duh. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
That's just how time works.
But the nice thing is that in that situation, when people get to see it in person, they get excited about it because they've spent all this time looking at media of it. And as a person who does that as a thing, it's like when you see a thing that you've only ever interacted with online in person, it is a different experience. Now, this isn't an
say quickly is like, yeah, like, you know, like you see all the video and there's all these footage of all these cars And it's like, oh, now Kevin's in a different car. He just goes by the screen. You don't know it's Kevin because it's not the pink Altezza. Where if it was the pink Altezza going by, you're like, oh, that was Kevin, you know?
You've changed your identity, and now you're gonna you'll spend time reestablishing that.
Exactly. I gotta teach all the new people, or all the not new people, all the existing people that I look like this now, you know.
But the benefit of it is, along the way, you might pick up, to Gerard's point, if you choose the right chassis, you might pick up some new people along the way, which I understand. I just, look, again. Both of you, do whatever the fuck you want. Buy whatever cars you want. I'll do my best to support your wild decisions, even though sometimes they give me anxiety when I see it. But yeah, do whatever you want. I don't care. I'll figure it out.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. I mean, I won't love any Nissan G as, you know, as much as a Toyota, but whatever. It's fine. It is what it is. Okay, well, great. I feel like we covered a lot. I can say this really quickly. On Father's Day weekend, I went to the Driven show. I took my daughter to Driven.
Did. Nice.
Yeah, I haven't posted any photos of it.
Did she pick cars? Did you make a video?
This year, she did not. She picked, like, she liked the engine bay dress-up of a Subaru. Which I'm not mad about, because honestly, I'd walk by a lot of pink cars and be like, well, that car is pink. Maybe you'll like it. Yeah. And she was like, no. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fair. And Gerard, maybe you'll get a kick out of this. That Lamborghini we saw at Weekfest, that we're like, who would even like that car? And we're like, maybe our daughters. I was like, hey, do you like that Lamborghini? And she's like, no.
Oh, the pink weird thing?
So I appreciate that she did choose the, like, the toned down version of, like, the pink thing. To bring it full circle, I do have a photo of her in front of the Altezza, because she likes the Altezza because of the pink that it is. So that's, you know, neat. But Miatas doesn't give a shit about.
Who gives a shit about Miatas anyways?
I like some Miatas.
little girls.
What? Lots of people like Miatas. Also, I would expect my 7-year-old daughter to like a Miata, because it's like a cute car, and she's not, doesn't give a shit. She just likes Toyotas. So I've done a good job parenting.
You've raised her well. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I will say, probably not like a lot to say about Driven, but on the heels of Weekfest, it is definitely interesting going to Driven. I walked around and wondered why there were so many ESR wheels on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we're not
being part of the solution, so.
I know, and that's the other part. It's not like we didn't go.
We're not there showing what they could aspire to perhaps build.
To be, yeah. And I get that. That's the other part. I bought a ticket this year. I paid full price, went in, because I want to support those things. Nice. I think it is important to support those things.
I would have been there if I wasn't destroying my car. And that probably, I was going to say it probably would have been a better use of Serial 9's time and money.
You think? I don't know. I mean, it depends what content you get. Very callous thing to say, depends on what follow-up content you get out of the Altezza. I don't know what the direct line would be on the Driven thing, because, like, honestly, it was a little bit smaller this year. Last year felt like a very good example of, like, going in the right direction of what it could be, and I don't know if it was the weather or what. But this year it was a little bit smaller. I do agree. It is important to support those things, or else they'll go away. And when they go away, then if you don't live in Vancouver and can't drive to Weekfest every year, then you don't get to go to a premier auto show. You don't have the outlet to do the stuff, and then you are left wondering why. So anyway, all in all, it was good to go with. It was like a nice local event to take my daughter to and hang out with her and buy her a Hot Wheels and call it, but I don't know much else.
What's the Hot Wheels? That's the real question here.
This is really good, actually. She wanted an 8.6 because it had the anime on the side of it, and I was like, "You have that at home?" And also it was like $15. And I'm like, we have that at home. Like I bought you that already.
Yeah.
You just don't know what you did with it. So she picked like a monster high car, which is just a smaller version of a Barbie car that she already has. And I was like, yeah, all right, whatever. It's probably like the only person buying the cheap Hot Wheels there. You know, everyone else is buying the $20 Hot Wheels.
Yeah, the expensive collector ones or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I bought her the Mountain Drift Hot Wheels set for Christmas 1 year. So she has the anime one.
Yeah.
I don't know where it is. Jerry, is there anything else you want to just tag on to the end? Any thoughts, comments, concerns?
Yeah, if anybody wants to buy my Blitz for sale, just got to wait a little bit and then come up with a whole whack of money and it'll be yours.
You can find that on at serial9.com in their store, I suppose. It'll just be an option you can finance.
Yeah, we should totally do that. We should totally put the cars up for sale on the website as products.
Yeah, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's a good idea.
No, it's a brilliant idea.
Put the Blit up for sale on the website. With that, thanks for everyone who's listened. We got to figure out the next episode because we promised to video one and Jerry's going on vacation.
Yeah.
So there's either going to be a little bit of a break or there's going to be no break and there'll be a video podcast. And whatever it is, I hope you enjoy it because I enjoy doing this. I enjoy hanging out with both of you. Kevin, thanks for walking us through your weekend and being very nonchalant about losing a vehicle. Jerry, thanks for your insight. It is always nice to be able to ring Jerry's line whenever you're in crisis and he can give you an answer to your problem. I had that a few weeks ago with the Prius. Jerry was able to answer it, so that was really great.
Which one was that?
When I was like, "Hey, nobody can get these lock nuts off because I don't have the key anymore. I don't know where the hell it is."
Oh, that was actually super funny.
Yeah,
because you just showed up and I literally picked it the first one out. I'm like, "Looks like this one," and it was like 100% the right one.
That was it.
I just looked like
nobody
else
could do it. Yeah. I went to like three tire shops. I was like, how do you do this? And like, well, we're going to have to weld it. I'm like, you're not going to have to weld it. It's a very standard piece size. And then Jerry had it. So that was great. So as always, appreciate it. Appreciate everyone. Thanks for hanging out with us. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, reach out to any of us, probably me, I guess. And we'll put it in the podcast.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. Bye.
It'll be sick.
Thanks for listening to Serial Podcast 9.